Well, good morning, Cornerstone Church. That's our summer sermon series called Storytellers. And our where we get that name from is our lives are stories. And as we go through our life, we're wondering what's next in our own story. We wonder, what is the purpose? Where am I going? Where am I headed? What am I fighting for? Why am I here? And our lives are stories. And stories also have power. And the power of stories is that they influence our own story and our own life. And as we go through our own story and we're looking forward to see what's ahead for us, what's in our story, the power of stories that we look at other people's stories, we're going to wonder if their story is a part of ours. As we watch movies, as we read books, as we hear stories from other people in everyday life, we wonder if their story somehow is a part of ours. And stories have such power and influence that we can actually change our direction in our life. We can change our own story to incorporate parts of other people's stories if they resonate with ours. And so the question is, whose stories are we listening to? What stories are influencing our life? And so this summer we're going to take a look at the stories Jesus told, the stories that God told when he came to earth. And we're going to let those stories affect and change our life. And that will be starting in June. Today we're going to continue on with our sermon series called The Gospel is Greater. We've been reading through the book of Galatians, and we've been talking about how God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is bigger and better than the alternatives that are presented to us in our society today. And today we're going to be talking about how the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than rebellion. For the last 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ all throughout the world has preached the gospel. And the gospel is this. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world, we have a God who loves the world. And he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the good news is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's the good news. We've got a way to God that we can trust. God himself has provided us a way to him. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that for us to get to God, he provided Jesus. The way for us to God is through Jesus Christ. But there's a different gospel as well in our culture today. And I was talking with my friend Andy, who follows this gospel. And I've known Andy for 12 years now, and I remember when Andy started following this gospel. He came to a Bible study that we were leading on campus. And at one point, Andy was starting to be drawn by God, and his heart was turning to the Lord. And at one point, Andy began to call himself a Christian in college. And he started to put his faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then at some point in college, Andy figured out how to comb his hair a little bit more stylishly. He figured out how to dress a little bit better, and suddenly Andy was getting a lot of attention from the ladies. He was tall, dark, and handsome, and he got a girlfriend who was very pretty, and they started having sex. And one day Andy came to our Bible study, and we were teaching the scriptures' take on marriage, that sex is a part of a covenant between a man and a woman that's called marriage, and that sex outside of marriage is one of those things that God has commanded us not to do because it hurts ourselves, it hurts others, and it rebels against him. And Andy's sitting here listening to this. And he's listening to us teach the scripture. And we're reading about how Jesus affirmed that idea of sex and idea of marriage. And it hurts us, the reason the scriptures give when you read them, the reason it gives us, is that we are meant for a type of unbreaking covenant love. And that unbreaking covenant love is found in marriage. And marriage is supposed to be a metaphor for God's unbreaking covenant love for us. That's what our hearts were made for. And the reason why sex outside of marriage, outside of that covenant, hurts us and hurt others and rebels against God, because our hearts were meant for unbreaking covenant love, while premarital sex trades what we were meant for and turns it into something of an exchange. Without a covenant, it's exchange. I'll give you mutual pleasure if you give me mutual pleasure. And as long as we're both enjoying that, then this transaction, this exchange will continue. But as soon as one of us would like something else or no longer is interested, well, then the love will stop and the exchange will stop. And that hardens our hearts because we were not meant for that kind of broken love. We were meant for God's undying, unbreaking covenant love, which is found in marriage. And so we're learning about the scriptures teaching on sex, on marriage, and Andy's sitting there and he goes, "Guys, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to believe that it's better for me and better for her if we remain absent until before marriage? Guys, I could be having sex with my girlfriend right now." We're like, "Andy, what are you saying?" He says, "Well, I'll follow Jesus Christ as long as I don't have to do that." I'll follow Jesus Christ as long as I don't have to believe in his teachings. I'll follow Jesus Christ as long as I can still do whatever I want, whenever I want. And so, well, wait a minute, Andy, are you choosing Jesus or are you choosing something else? What God are you serving? Who is controlling your life? Who is Lord of your life? Is it Jesus Christ? Are you truly following Jesus? Are you a Christian? Or are you following something else? Who is your God? Is it fornication or is it the Lord? And then he said, I choose fornication, baby. And he was gone. And he went to worship his new God. And Andy followed a new gospel. Instead of putting his faith in Jesus Christ, and he followed a different gospel. And this gospel says, the way to get to God, well, wait a minute. Why would I want to get to God? You know what I want more than God is freedom. I want freedom. If there's a God, then he created us. And surely he's got the owner's manual. He wrote the owner's manual on our lives. He knows how we should best live our lives. And he's given that and he's communicated that to us. And therefore, for us to live our best life, we should play by his rules. But you know, I don't like that idea. I want to be the one who decides what's best for my life. And I want freedom more than I want God. And that is the gospel of rebellion. The gospel of rebellion says, without God, I can be free to do what I want, whenever I want. And isn't that awesome? This Jesus, he oppresses me with his teachings and his rules. I don't like them. I want to be free to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And you may be feeling that way today. You may be going through some things. You may be struggling with something, and you're tired of it. You just want to be free. Free from God. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life that you know you're doing that is wrong. That you know you're doing that God doesn't approve of. And you just want to be free from him. So that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want it. And so, where should we turn to find the freedom that we want so bad? Should we follow the gospel of rebellion? Anybody grow up watching like the Bugs Bunny cartoons? Anybody grow up watching Merry Melodies or whatever that was called? I remember when I was a kid, I'd watch this. And there'd always be like the same thing happening. Sometimes it'd be like Daffy or sometimes it'd be Bugs. But there's like a recurring theme that like seemed like every character experienced. And that's like crawling in the desert. And they're desperate for water. Right? And then all of a sudden there's this pool of, you know, spring fresh water that appears. And they run as fast as they can for it. And they open their mouth and they dive into the sand. And all of a sudden the water disappears. And all they're left with is sand. And is the gospel of rebellion, is that a mirage? Does that give us the freedom we want? Or if we want freedom, should we choose a different gospel? Should we choose the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel that teaches that we repent of our sins. And we're forgiven by God himself. It teaches that we don't have to be perfect because we've been forgiven. But what we do is we repent. The gospel is that we don't have to be perfect, but Jesus Christ has been perfect for us. Is that the gospel we should follow? Instead of seeking to be free to do whatever we want, whenever we want, seeking to be free to satisfy our ungodly desires, should we be seeking to be free from them instead of being enslaved by them? Which gospel should we follow? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with me, we'll be reading from Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. If you don't have your scriptures with you, there are Bibles on the back. If you need one, feel free to grab one on your way out. In Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 13, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." Let's just pause right there. What freedom is Paul talking about? Well, last week we read about how God is perfect. We talked about how God is perfect and how human beings are not perfect. And therefore, there's a distance between us and God. And so for us to get over that distance on our own, we would have to be perfect. To deserve perfection, we would have to earn perfection by being perfect. To cover that distance, we would have to be perfect. But last week we read about how we don't have to be perfect because Jesus Christ came to save us. God knew that the way for us to him would never be through us being perfect because that's impossible. And so Jesus Christ came to do what was impossible for us. Jesus was God himself, come to earth to live a perfect life for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to rise from the grave to give us eternal life. And so we don't have to be perfect, but we are made perfect, not by what we do, but who Jesus Christ is. We're made perfect not through being perfect, but because Jesus was perfect for us. And so we're free from having to be perfect. The believer in Jesus Christ is free. We don't have to be perfect to get to God because Jesus Christ has done it for us. And that's the kind of freedom that Paul is talking about. Paul starts off, he says the believer has freedom. You've been called to freedom, brothers, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what does Paul say? Does he say that since we're free, we can say, you know, I'm forgiven. And I know Jesus has died for my sins. So it's okay for me to be lazy at home or at work. I'll just ask for forgiveness later. They say it's okay for us to say, you know, pornography is tempting. I'm just going to log on. I can ask for forgiveness later. Does Paul say that, hey, you know what? Since we're forgiven, we can just bash people behind their backs. We can tear them down in conversation, and we'll just ask for forgiveness later. No, Paul says, he continues on, he says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And what he's referring to in the flesh is our ungodly desires, the desires that we know are wrong. We know it. It's our fallen, sinful nature. Paul says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But he says, through love, serve one another. And so our freedom is not to indulge our ungodly desires. When we indulge our ungodly desires, we prove that we're not free at all. But we prove that we are slaves to them. Because we can't stop doing them, even though we know that we shouldn't. And so Paul says, don't use your freedom to indulge your ungodly desires. Instead, use your freedom to serve and love one another. Freedom isn't to say, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I can log on and look at porn and ask for forgiveness later. No, freedom is to give us faithfulness. And to allow us to be faithful where otherwise we would have been enslaved by our lust. That's freedom. Freedom isn't to say, hey, I can talk bad about people behind their back. I can tear them down. Freedom is instead to be free, to have kind, gentle conversations where otherwise we would have been enslaved by our gossip. And freedom isn't to say, hey, I'm free. I can just be lazy. I can do whatever I want whenever I want. But freedom is instead to serve other people when usually we would have been enslaved by our selfishness and by our laziness. And Paul says, use our freedom. Let's use our freedom not for an opportunity for the flesh. But let's use our freedom to love and serve other people. That sounds like good advice to me. I'm always impressed by the good advice that I run across in Scripture when I study it and when I read it. That seems to really speak to me. That seems like a good idea. Paul says, he continues on, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, and it's this. This is what the law is fulfilled in. When you read the Bible, this is the way to interpret it. When you read that Old Testament law, this is the way to interpret it. This is the meaning of it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that sounds like good advice. A lot of times I read the Bible, I don't understand some of the things because it's written for different people at a different time. Some of this stuff was written for an intended audience thousands of years ago. And sometimes it's hard to interpret. But when I run across something I don't understand, I remember that the people who it was written for interpreted it this way. That it was fulfilled with this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul says that's what we should be seeking to use our freedom for. He says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Instead, we should use our freedom to love and serve other people. And so, how do we get that freedom? Well, before I converted to Jesus Christ, before God's love had been revealed to me, and it takes the Holy Spirit of God revealing Jesus Christ's love. But before Jesus Christ's love was revealed to me before I believed that Jesus was real, before I believed or understood that God cared and loved about me. I was following a path for quite some time where all of my decisions, all of my energy was focused on myself and pleasing myself. And I was incredibly selfish. And I wasn't like some kind of terror because I'm also subdued, right? I'm subdued by the law. I'm subdued by being rational and knowing that if I'm constantly selfish, well, then other people won't give me what I want. And so you play the game. And I've been going down this path for quite some time of just living completely for myself, making decisions constantly on what is best for me. How can I get the most out of it? And this is going to sound very small, but for me it was just an amazing moment that shows the power of God's Holy Spirit. After I converted and Jesus Christ's love had been revealed to me, I had a new outlook on life. If Jesus loved me this much, I knew he loved other people that much as well. And it changed my idea on how I should be living. And it just happened. It wasn't a decision, it just happened. When God's love had been revealed to me, I loved God more than my selfishness. And so I started making unselfish decisions naturally. It just happened. And one day I was at a dinner with some guys, and they're all older than me, and there was about 8 people, and we got done eating dinner, and one of them turned to me and said, "Hey, I think the young guy should clean up the dinner." And I had been so enslaved to selfishness. Every other time anybody would have said that to me, perhaps for my entire life, I would have thought, "Wait a minute. Maybe somebody else should clean up this dinner. There's 8 people here. Maybe you should do it." That would be my initial thought. I certainly would have tried to get out of it. I may have ended up cleaning up the dishes. My parents made me do a lot of things. I may have ended up, but I wouldn't have wanted to. My first thoughts would have been selfish. And I realized halfway through cleaning up this dinner, I realized I hadn't had one unselfish thought. I hadn't had any rebellion in me, any kicking against this idea that I should serve other people. And I realized perhaps the first time in my life I was doing something that was purely unselfish. And I was just amazed. I was in awe of the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Where normally I had been enslaved to my own selfish desires, I had a moment of freedom. And of course, I'm not saying that I'm an unselfish person now. These moments happen far too few. There's not too much space in between, ask Sarah. But when I'm walking with God's Holy Spirit, it just comes more naturally. When I'm following God's Spirit, there's freedom. And I'd experienced, perhaps the first time in my life, a momentary total freedom from the selfish desires which had enslaved me. And any and all things that I'm able to do now that are unselfish are just a complete testimony and testament to the power and the freedom that's found in God's Holy Spirit. And so how do we find this freedom? Well, verse 16, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." In verse 17, Paul says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And so, we don't experience freedom because of the desires of the flesh. The freedom we want isn't to do whatever we want, whenever we want, but it's to be free from the desires of the flesh which war against the Spirit in us. And the believer is not perfect. The believer in Jesus Christ will still experience these ungodly desires. But it depends on how we handle them. We think that we'll be free when we rebel. We think that we'll be free if we can just do whatever we want, whenever we want. But it's impossible. It's impossible to do whatever we want, whenever we want. When we live that way, instead we enslave ourselves to our ungodly desires. How many of us men have started looking at pornography because we wanted to be free to do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, but now can't stop? Are we free? Did doing whatever we want, whenever we want, give us more control in our lives? Did it help us be free, or did it enslave us? How many of us wanted to be free to tear down others in conversation behind their backs, and now can't have a kind conversation. We can't go an entire conversation without gossiping. Did following our desires give us the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we wanted? Or did they enslave us? John 8:34, Jesus answered them. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." And freedom is not unrestrained behavior. That's impossible. When we think that we can live whatever, doing whatever we want, whenever we want, instead what happens is we become enslaved to our ungodly desires, and they call the shots. They run the show. We have given up our freedom. And what does Paul say? He says that, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's through the Holy Spirit of God that we encounter freedom. Freedom comes not from doing whatever we want, but freedom comes from God's Spirit. In verse 18, Paul says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And now the message is getting heavy. And so Paul reminds us, guys, if you are under the Spirit, you're not under the law. And last week we talked about how the law meant keeping all of the good things, doing all of the good things that we know God wants us to do. That was being under the law, having to earn perfection to deserve perfection, having to be perfect as our way to God. And Paul says, guys, don't worry, this isn't about that. If you are led by the Spirit, remember, you are not under the law. This isn't about being perfect to earn salvation. This is about being free. This is about being free from the damaging effects of our ungodly desires. Being free from that. And Paul just spoke before, as we mentioned last week, that it's not through our being perfect, through our doing all of the good things that we know God commands us to do, through keeping the law that we're saved, but it's through Jesus Christ. And we have forgiveness. This isn't about earning our salvation. But it's about being led by the Spirit and the Holy Spirit directing us to freedom. And how does the Holy Spirit direct us to freedom? Is it just through saying, try harder, do better? How does God's Holy Spirit direct us to freedom? Well, freedom is not about behavior modification. It's about heart change. And as we grow closer to the Holy Spirit of God, He reveals God's love to us more. And in turn, we just naturally love God more. It's just a thing that happens as we submit ourselves to God's Spirit. As we encounter God's Holy Spirit in worship and service, our hearts become changed and we begin to love God more. And when we love God more, our behavior will change. When we love God more than pornography, we won't log on. When we love God more than gossip, we'll start having kinder conversations. When we love God more than ourselves and our selfishness, then we'll start serving others. Behavior, freedom is not about behavior modification. It's not about setting up rules in place and gritting it out and toughing it out to change our behavior. But it's about the Holy Spirit of God changing our hearts. When we follow the Spirit, we grow in our freedom to be faithful to God, to be faithful to others, and to love and serve. When we grow in freedom in the Holy Spirit, we are free from having to satisfy those desires of the flesh. We gain freedom in our lives. When we are tempted, we don't have to respond by submitting and being enslaved to the desires of our flesh. And Paul starts listing some of these desires in verse 19. He says, some of these guys, these are what they are. They're pretty evident, he says. The works of the flesh are evident. We know what these are. He says, they're sexual immorality, they're impurity, they're sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who do things like this, we know that these things are evident. This isn't meant to be an exhaustive list, but those who do things like this, Paul says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the stakes are high here. And we look at what these are, and note the ways that we hurt ourselves by doing these things. Of drunkenness, of envy, which eats us alive from the inside out. These things hurt ourselves. Look at the ways we hurt others with these things, of sexual immorality, of adultery, which breaks relationships and ruins families, of enmity and strife, of hatred of other people. These things hurt ourselves and they hurt others. And look at some of these things which rebel against God. Idolatry and sorcery. These things hurt ourselves, they hurt others. And in doing these things, we rebel against God. And Paul says, the stakes are high. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But for Paul, there's still forgiveness in Christ. And another one of these lists that Paul's sort of famous for these lists of the things that enslave us. And he says after one of these lists, he says, and such were some of you. Some of you were drunks. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were people filled with hatred and fits of rage. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so for Paul, there's forgiveness for the believer. There's forgiveness for the believer when they fall. And Paul is preaching here to the Corinthians. He says, such were some of you, but now you've been forgiven. And though we still may fall, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us back to freedom. And we have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And for Christians who repent of their sins, we're not defined by our struggle. If you're struggling with something today, you're not defined by that. But because of Jesus Christ's forgiveness, you're defined by being God's. You're defined by being God's own through Jesus Christ. The believer will never be perfect, but we're not defined by our struggle. We're defined by our faith in Jesus Christ, who is perfect for us. And we're made perfect not through being perfect, but through Jesus Christ's perfection and our faith in that. There's still grace for those who fall. So here are some of the things that we want to be free to do. These are the things that we want freedom for. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, he says, there is no law. Who could argue with this? He says that the works of the flesh are evident. The things that enslave us, we can look at them and we can tell and we can see them. And just as evident is the fruit of the Spirit, the things that we want to be free to do. No one would make a law against these things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And today you may not be free. Are you free to do whatever you want, whenever you want? Are you free to be patient, or are you enslaved to a short temper? Are you free to be faithful, or are you enslaved to lust? And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for freedom in my life. With Jesus Christ comes joy and patience and love, and I need more of that. I've tasted the patience that God has for me and my sin and my failure. And I want to be more free to be more patient with other people in my life. And I've tasted the joy that comes from knowing the love of Jesus Christ. And I want more freedom in my life to experience that joy and to be free from the cares and the desires of this world, where we start turning blessings into burdens. I want more freedom for joy. I don't know about you, but this sounds good to me. And I want the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 24, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, but provoking one another, envying one another. How do we become free? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of rebellion says, who do I serve? And the answer is my desires. I do what I want, when I want. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ says, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit my will to him. If I fall, I repent. The gospel of rebellion. What do we have if we follow the gospel of rebellion? We've got no self-control. Our desires call the shots. They run the show. But what do we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have forgiveness and help. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh and its desires. What's the end result of the gospel of rebellion? Well, the end result is that we are slaves to sin. We've given up our freedom. But what's the end result in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we bear fruit to freedom. The gospel of Jesus Christ is greater because those who belong to Jesus have God's Spirit to help them to be free to want and to do what they know to be good. And I need freedom. And what I need is not a mirage that just leads me into slavery. But I need to be free by the Holy Spirit of God. If you need freedom, why don't you join me in praying to God for his Holy Spirit? Heavenly Father, God, I pray that if we've never experienced the love of Jesus Christ, God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit right now into our hearts that we could experience that. That our love for you could be greater than our love of the desires of the flesh. God, it's not something that we can do by gritting our teeth. It's not something that we can do by trying harder. But God, this sort of freedom comes from loving you more. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us an understanding of your love. Give us love so that we choose you. So that just comes naturally. It just happens. We are free. Lord, I personally pray, God, that you would bless me with more patience, more love, more joy. God, I'm tired of turning burdens into blessings. I'm tired of not focusing on all of the great things around me, but instead being wrapped up with care and worry and anxiety. God, I pray for freedom. Lord, if there's anyone struggling here today, Lord, I pray that you would bless them with your Holy Spirit too, with freedom. God, set us free. Lord, we need freedom, and what we don't need is to be enslaved by our God, ungodly desires. Heavenly Father, bless us with freedom. Bless us with your Spirit. And Lord, we also pray that you would bless these offerings that we're about to receive, that you would use them and multiply them, God, that we could reach this city with your good news. With your good news of forgiveness and love, we pray that you'd bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, if the ushers could come forward, we're going to receive our offerings. If you're new here, we ask that you don't put anything in the basket. Our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing here for the ministry. If as the baskets pass, if you're new, if you are able to, could you fill out your communication cards and put those in the baskets as well so we know who you are? And after the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship. If you need freedom, let God know. If you need freedom, raise your hands and raise your voices to God and seek his Holy Spirit.